all profit is value extraction. And that means that all profit is theft from you.
Corporate America is on welfare, and we've got to get them off welfare.
Last words on my lips, I am a revolutionary, and you're going to have to keep on saying that.
Welcome to Cars and Comrades, your favorite communist car podcast. This is Brandon, and I am recording here in person for the first time ever with Bryant, Connor, and Zach. How's everybody doing today?
I'm doing wonderful.
Hello.
Doing good.
Today we are recording live for the first time because I'm not even sure what I'm supposed to say here. We decided to fucking take a vacation together.
Yeah.
So we're all in the mountains in Colorado. We're going to gloss over car updates for today, shy of what's necessary, because Connor and I did drive about 16 hours out here to...
Yeah.
And it was a time. Connor, any feedback on the road trip? How did the Z do?
It did okay. It could have done better in a few ways, but we made it work. It was a little too low. So that was maybe a mistake, but
so you didn't like plan on me having to pull like the rubber speed bumps out from underneath your car?
No, I did not.
I assume that was part of the plan. So, yeah, the real car update for me and Connor is that his Z is too fucking low to the ground. And
it looks good, though. It looks really good.
It looks great.
it does look fucking sick.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, by the way, we're recording this on one microphone that we're passing back and forth. So if this sounds weird, that's why. Also, all of us have had at least, I think, two drinks by now, so...
Something like that.
Yeah.
I'm dead sober.
You've got a drink in your hand, Brandon, right now.
Yes, the third one.
Okay. All right. Sorry, who am I handing this back to?
Well, we didn't plan any of this out. Like, actually, what are we doing?
I guess we
quick car updates?
Just a quick... Just this, how did we end up doing this?
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what to say.
How do you plan a vacation? How does one plan a vacation? We did that. And then now we're all together. In the same place, and that's all you need to know.
I wouldn't say that we planned a vacation. Connor planned a vacation, and all of us provided so little resistance that it actually happened.
Yeah, that's actually more accurate.
Yeah. I didn't plan that much.
And it was still more than the rest of us.
Yeah, if that didn't come through, Connor says, I didn't plan much. I think we all helped in our own unique way.
Yeah.
You know, Zach got the hookup with the timeshare. I suggested Wendy's for dinner. I think that was my idea. I suggested we go to Meow Wolf in Denver also.
Yeah.
And Bryant let us crash at his place for a couple days. So that was pretty cool.
And I had the decency to book a flight to Chicago to drive out with Connor instead of trying to drive my van, which would not have fucking made it. So, here we are in the mountains of Colorado after a bunch of long car rides and... I don't know, I'm just cruising. We've all gotten the chance to drive each other's car again, except for my van, which would not have made it regardless.
No one's driven my car.
We're gonna do that in the morning.
Okay, yeah.
That's not like a thing that we're saying to make you feel better. We are going to drive Connor's here in his MR2. His MR2.
Bryant
is here in his MR2.
I'm still sober. it's been a lot of fun. Hell, we could do a review of each other's cars.
That is a great idea.
Let's talk about what it took to get the cars here, like what we had to do to get it ready. So I think, Connor, you probably did the most.
So I'm not going to do a full update because some of that stuff's just going to come on a later episode, mostly when I have had fewer drinks and I feel like talking about it. But I spent a lot of time under the car in 90-degree heat getting this car ready. I had a lot of hiccups. What I can say is I did learn to do my own alignments in the garage, which is a cool skill to have. It's a dangerous skill to have. And I did fuck it up the first time, even though I drove the car to work. Like, it worked. It was fine. It just, the steering wheel was off. No, that's
I've done that a million times.
Yeah. Okay, so Zach thinks he's done that a million times, and he doesn't understand why that's a fucking problem when you have an angle kit on your car. Because when you have an angle kit on your car, guess what? That wheel turns real far, and you make some fucking problems. So, yeah, I had some issues. But I did align the car. I did some other stuff. Everything was relatively good shape. As part of that process, I lowered the car a little bit more in the back because it was sitting super high, in my defense. It wasn't like it was sitting all cool. It was sitting real fucking high.
Like an inch and a half off the ground?
It really was. It was too much. It was way too much. It looked stupid, so I lowered it. And it was too low. And I didn't anticipate that, you know, with Brandon and myself and all my tools and all our shit, which Brandon didn't have much shit. Brandon had like one little bag. I had a bunch of shit. But all that tools and all that shit weighed a lot. And so the car sat even lower when we drove. And, you know, we smacked the street a few times. It wasn't too bad till we got to the mountains. And then I did pull a speed bump. One of those like rubber speed bumps. I did pull it with me and get stuck. It was a whole thing. So, you know, car's a little low. A little low for a mountain trip, admittedly.
And then you raised it up.
I did raise it up. I think I put it up another, what, 8 millimeters? Yeah, about 8 millimeters is what I put it up, so.
That's almost 3/4 of an inch, right?
No.
No.
No, that is probably
I think, about 5/16 of an inch.
Oh, yeah, no, because 12 is half. Holy yes. Shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Yeah, I thought you said you had done 10 millimeters, and that would have been 3/8 of an inch.
Nah.
So yeah, not very much.
I did what I needed to. I can clear the speed bumps now. I still touch them, but I can get over them.
Addendum, you can clear them when I'm not in the car with you.
Yeah.
I get out of the car and walk around speed bumps and meet you on the other side.
It's not a problem in the hotel we're staying at. It was a little janky at the national park when the rangers were looking at us like, why is this happening right now?
They really did seem suspicious.
They were like, what is happening? Why is this person getting out of the car?
Hey, forest cops are still cops, and they still make me nervous because they do have guns. And I'm like, hey, we're being chill. Don't worry about it. We're just reducing weight. It's a car thing.
Yeah. But that's the main updates. I did have to do a bunch of work, but the car is nice. I also have a new sound system. I'm not going to talk about any further details, but I enjoyed it on the way here. So it was a whole thing. It created a bunch of extra problems I had to fix before this trip. So again, too many stories. I'm just not going to go over them now, but the car made it and it went through the mountains and it was cool. It was great. It's a little janky around the turns. That diff is fucking nasty. I'm like, you'll hear that in the reviews, I'm sure. But it's a little bit weird. It's too aggressive, and I don't know. I may have to look at some other options. But anyway, let me pass this off.
Well, I'm going to pick this up because I'm now the only person. Well, no, I take that back. Tomorrow morning, I'll be the only person that has driven everybody's car on the show because none of my cars are here for y'all to drive. So I can't honestly review Bryant's MR2 right now. So I'll start with it. I am utterly shocked that not only do I fit in it, I fit in it comfortably. I am 6'4", like about 270 pounds. I was expecting to have my knees up around my ears in your car. It was fine. You really sold it as underpowered. It's underpowered relative to some things, but it handled the mountains fine. My Ford would not have been able to keep up with you. So, I've ridden in the car now, but I haven't driven it. More of a thorough review to come. Brian's MR2 handled the mountains great. Connor's car. Connor Z, where do we even start? It actually, it drives pretty, it's so much different than anything I'm used to. I drive a 3-speed daily, his is a 6-speed. My clutch engages pretty slowly, his engages really suddenly. My tires don't jerk and hop on the ground when I make turns, and his do all over the road.
Yep.
So, you know, it's just little things that you have to get used to. You know, you can't clear speed bumps, you can't, You can go out real fast, though. It goes vroom vroom. Has a good rev to it.
Yeah. It can move a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's a quick car. It's fun to drive. Dude, I love your suspension. I really do. I've never drifted before, and I don't know, like, what all goes into that. But even just on the highway and shit, like, sure, fix that fucking differential because it's horrifying.
I think it's supposed to be that way, but I'm questioning that because it's nasty.
If there's a horror movie about cars, that's the soundtrack. But otherwise, I had a lot of fun driving your car, man. Especially just like banging through gears because I don't get to drive anything manual that actually has any punch to it. So it was a lot of fun.
I will say, so the diff is nasty. The suspension could probably use some you know improvements here and there. But what I can say is driving on the street kind of sucks with that car. It's awful, especially at low speeds. It's terrible. But when I drift, it's flawless. No notes. It feels great in that hyper-specific instance. The car can drift real nice. Everything else, not so much.
Essentially, it's technically still a street car, but it is built to drift. It is not built to drive on the street. It is 100% a drift car.
More than I intended, I might add.
Well, sometimes that happens. Scope creep is a real thing. I don't know if you guys are familiar with scope creep, but I'm not,
but it explains itself.
Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah, it happens to the best of us. I started my journey with my WRX about 6 years ago as a daily driver, and now it's turning into a rally car. So scope creep is a real thing for sure.
I had dreams of my van just starting every single time I turn the key. It's getting there. No, my partner did some juju on it, and now it starts almost every time with some varying degree of effort, but it never floods. So that's my scope creep. It's reaching a high percentage of times that it actually even starts.
Nice.
But what's fucked up, though, is that, like, after driving y'all's cars, I now recognize the amount of work I need to do on my Cutlass to make it, like, be what I want it to be. And I spent hours of our trip into the mountains online, like, ignoring the beautiful Rocky Mountains and shopping for suspension parts for my fucking Cutlass. Because I'm like, well, okay, I need a new sway bar and A-arms and coilovers. And I got to weld on the coilover mounts. And, I mean, not to mention, I got to put in a rear sway bar and coilovers back there. But, I mean, if I want to handle that, then I got to box in the frame. And then that. So, you know, I'm these guys have inspired me that I need to spend $5,000 on my car and ignore my responsibilities.
I'm super happy that we could do that for you.
me too. Sure. I'll be happier about it when I have a job. But if I'm continuing with my reviews. I got to drive Zach's, what we were calling, WRX, Impreza, STI.
It's all three.
Yeah. So Zach, I contracted an STI from Zach. as I said, that is the first time I've ever driven a tuned turbo car. And not my only complaint about it is it took me some time to get used to turbo lag and keeping the RPMs and like the actual power band. Cause I'm used to things that are making like 300 pound feet of torque at idle. So, I like Connor's car a lot in the way it handles, but man, getting to like push through the Rocky Mountains in your car was definitely a fucking blast. I really enjoyed that. I can't even really say that I would pick one or the other because they're both very different cars. I really like the way Connor's handles, but yours actually is easy to drive.
Mine handles good at the limit. Anywhere else, not so much.
Yeah, God help you if you have to turn around in a like gas station in your fucking car. But yeah, so everyone's cars are great. They all do what they were built to do. And Connor just didn't build his to drive normally.
I tried to.
Do you have something? Well, yeah, I can review Zach's car. I drove Zach's car to the Wendy's, I'll have you know. So the Wendy's.
And it went off without a hitch.
It did not. Did it? No, it did not. No, I stalled this car a couple times.
I'll blame it on Sloppy Shifter. Honestly, I think that was a like. 90% of the issue.
Well, what about that shift into second then?
No, I have no excuse for that one. That was nasty. Yeah. Talking to Zach, though, it sounds like I did not, I don't know, I kind of almost kept my foot on the throttle, it sounds like. Yeah, I can do that in my car. Apparently not in Zach's. So that shift felt real nasty. But I saw it a couple times, once at the Wendy's, and once when we parked, got home. I'm pretty sure it's because I just literally didn't know it was in gear. There is so much slop in this shifter. I would check it and be like, yeah, the shifter moved. It's clearly in neutral, and then stall the car. Because it's not in neutral. That's his shifter in gear is what mine does in neutral. I'm not kidding. It is several inches of motion in the shift.
His moves more in gear than yours moves, period.
Yeah, I got no excuses for it. It's something that I've been meaning to address for a really long time, and I just haven't. So, you know, I got no excuses. I meant to do it a while ago. I have the parts to replace all the shifter bushings. I'm lazy. That's all it is.
Yeah, I might not have stalled your car if I had remembered it was in gear. But, like, I don't have the best memory, you know? I was having fun. I was driving it. It did feel really nice. So aside from the hitches, Zach's car felt really nice. It felt like a car. Mine doesn't. Mine, I was like, oh, my God, I have fucking ruined my car. Zach's drives so nice. It feels like a real car. When the turbo kicks in, it's such a nice, smooth power. It's not even like... It's nothing crazy. It's just nice, smooth power. It's all there when you want it. That was great. I love it. It feels good. It drives nice. I only drove it to the Wendy's, so I didn't get to drive it in the mountains much. That's because I was trying to manage my car in the mountains. But, yeah.
My two additions would be the car drives so fucking smooth. I wasn't looking at the speedo, and Zach had to let me know that I had just hit miles an hour going through the mountains. Or close to it. I mean,
you mean kilometers, right?
In Mexico.
Yeah.
We're in the Sonoran Mountains right now. No, actually, I don't give a shit about breaking the law. I talk about doing it all the time. I only, like, watch my words when I'm start talking about But
even then.
I mean, I don't do but I advocate for it. Zach's car was fucking great to drive, but I mostly felt the need to point out that I stalled it out zero times.
That is true.
He's real proud of that.
Well, because I stalled out Connor's car a bunch of fucking times.
Yeah, the only other car I've driven so far has been Zach's, and the only thing I have to add is it's probably the best WRX I've ever driven, and I've only driven maybe like four or five of them, but.
Like, that's kind of a lot to be like, well, I've only driven four or five other examples and yours is the best. That's a compliment.
Until you get a job at a Subaru dealership, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's a huge compliment. I mean, like, you guys hyping up my car makes me feel really proud. I put a lot of work into it and I wanted it to be a good car. And obviously it is. So that makes me feel super good. Thanks, you guys.
You should put a big nasty diff in it.
Well, you got to put three big nasty diffs in it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll just talk.
Your ratio still matters.
Yeah, no, you don't want to. That'd be like full time four wheel drive. That's a terrible idea.
You just weld the front and the rear diff. The center diff can, I don't know, do whatever a center diff does. I'm not familiar with it, but no, Zach's shaking his head. Apparently, you can't do that.
No, you cannot do that. That would be very bad. Please do not, if you're listening to this, do not weld your Subaru rear and front diffs. That would. Okay, fuck up your center diff.
Hold on. Give me the mic back. Nope.
I have questions. I have seen Subarus drift at events, converted to rear wheel drive. I'm pretty sure that's welding a diff. They've welded a diff. He's shaking his head. Yes. He's shaking his fucking head. Yes. Explain yourself, sir, because you just said that doesn't work. And now, here.
We all know how stupid I am with tuner cars, and I understand what's going on.
I don't.
The front diff cannot be connected while they do that. If your front diff and your rear diff are attached to the center diff, and then those are both welded, it will burn up the center diff. But if you disconnect the front diff, like take the front axles out, and just weld the center and rear diffs, you can run like an open diff in the front and slide it. But you cannot weld the front and rear diff and leave the center diff open. That will burn it up.
Okay, that makes sense.
I have a stupid question. Subarus have three differentials?
Yes, in fact, they do.
The Subaru understander has logged on.
Yes, in fact, they do.
I thought it was a front, a rear, and a transfer case.
No, it's not a transfer case because it's a symmetrical all-wheel drive system. They have a center differential and a transaxle in the front.
Okay.
So it's like a normal like rear drive transmission. It's just got a transfer case essentially in the front of the transmission.
The center difference
or
in the rear.
Or in the rear of the transmission. It's got axles coming out of the front of the transmission.
The front differential is in the front.
The front differential is in the front. The center diff is in the rear. Sorry. Excuse me. Thank you, Brian.
I'm sorry. Where's the front differential at again?
The front.
Oh, okay. Right. Wait, so then where is the rear?
That is in the rear.
And the center is in the center.
And the center is in the center. Yes. Thank you.
Fascinating.
All right, I've embarrassed myself enough on this call. Somebody else talk now.
I think
now.
We all have.
Well, all right. I'll talk a little bit about the MR2 because no one else has driven it so far. So the only thing I've done to it besides let it sit for several months is put new tires on it and wheels.
They look good.
Oh,
thank you. The wheels look good, and the tires are fresh and cool, and they're bigger than what you had before. So
yeah, so I think I talked about this on the podcast before, but I got 16-inch wheels from Saturn Ion, a junkyard car, for I think around $50 each, and yeah, they fit great. I got like low profile tires, so it fits, handles good. All season performance tires. I forget what brand they are, but like $75 each. So like. I don't know. That part of it is working pretty good. Real quick, the part that's not working so good is when we were driving up here, something was going on with the EVAP system where the entire cab smelled like gasoline, and it was not running very good, at least not going uphill on I-70. And also something is kind of janky in the front end, and it wobbles and shakes a little bit. But Zach, what did you have to add?
No, I was just going to say that the wheels and tires look fresh. I saw it before it had the Saturn Ion wheels and the new tires, and it looks way better with the new setup. I have promised Bryant to help him repair his MR2 whenever the time comes, too. So look forward to hearing about that in the near future.
Yeah, and coming up here on the highway, I don't know if something was wrong with it and now it fixed itself, or if it's just slow compared to the other cars I've been driving. I'll talk about this more later, but I got a Chevy Bolt EV.
Yo, that thing fucking rips.
Yeah, it's got 200 horsepower, 260 foot-pounds of torque, 0 to 60 in 6.5, I think 15-ish somethings quarter mile.
Dude, I don't think it's the fucking 260 pound-feet of torque. I think it's the, like, from the fucking line, you're snapping the necks of the four people in the car with you. Like, that, most of us are used to something that hits that at, like, 3,000 or 4,000 RPMs, and yours is just off the fucking line. It's sick.
Yeah, and it also, it seemed like it did well. Didn't matter weight or where you were going, uphill, downhill. It just fucking went. And I'm going to be honest, those numbers, I'm questioning whether my car is faster than his. Maybe that's just because I felt it as a passenger, but I genuinely don't know.
Feeling it as a passenger, your car is definitely faster.
Is it? Okay.
It hurt my spine when you accelerated, so I don't know what that means.
I think that means you should see a doctor.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Bryant's Bolt has you in the 60-foot, but you've got him... I don't even know if in the quarter mile, but within a half a mile, you're pulling away.
There you go.
I don't know, man. Like, that thing is quick off the line. Yours takes a second. Like, I do think your car is faster, but, like, his, it's immediate.
Yeah, it's immediate.
And also, like, as the guy who, as like, the lone guy who, like, 60s American muscle, like, I'm used to having something with twice the horsepower that's half as fast. Like, yeah, sometimes that's just the fucking dice roll, man.
Yeah, for sure. That Bolt is very fast. I'll give you a quick update on my stuff and the cars that I've driven so far, which has just been mine. But I am driving Connor's tomorrow, so I'll hopefully have a review of that here soon.
You've at least ridden in my car.
I have ridden in Connor's car when I went out there. I was on a trip to Vermont last month, and I stopped by in Chicago and rode in his car. And we had a little fun. It was a good time. It's definitely a clunky ass diff, though. I don't think you can understand from what we were saying how clunky that fucking diff is. It's like loud as shit.
It makes a clunky noise.
You can feel it
breaking. Yeah.
You can feel it in your ass. You can feel it through the seat. It is ridiculously clunky. But no, it's a great car. I think it's a super sweet drift car. I mean, it looks so fresh with the wheels and the stance and everything.
The wheels are doing work.
The wheels are so good. So good. I mean, huge so nice. Dish, nice chrome lip, white wheels. It looks so fire.
Enough
I can't
camber
wait.
To be sick without being annoying.
Yeah, exact. The exact right amount of camber. Absolutely.
I got to take a little bit more out of the rear.
Yeah, a little more out of the rear would do wonders, I think, because it's a little aggressive in the rear, but yeah. If you can clear the tires under the fender, I think a little less negative camber in the rear would help the look.
I literally just ran out of attempts to align the car before I got out here, because I was like, yeah, I should do an alignment for the first time ever in my garage a week before a road trip. That's what I should do. And then, yeah, so I didn't have time to fully fix it. And when I dropped the car more, the wheels cambered in naturally. So they were pretty close. They were like 2.5 degrees negative. And then I lowered the car more. So I think they're probably like 3, 3.5, which is better than the 5.5 they started at. But I think I can take another couple degrees out.
Yeah, Connor did all this work to his car to get out here and make sure it was all ready to go and everything. And I live in the area and had plenty of free time and didn't put an air filter on my fucking car. So I have an open air tube and we're driving up through the mountains on these dusty ass dirt roads. And there are like so many signs like be ready for inclement weather. And I'm just thinking, oh great, it's going to start to pour down rain and I'm just going to suck up water into my engine. Luckily, that didn't happen. Knock on wood, nothing happens on the way back, but it's gone all the way up I-70 into the mountains, on some dirt roads, on some trail roads, and done really well. So hopefully it continues to do well. We'll see coming up. But yeah, all I did to prepare for this trip was do an oil change that I was like almost 1,000 miles over my target oil change mileage for, because I had been putting it off for quite a while. So, yeah, that's all I did, and did not put an air filter on like a big dummy.
Yeah. No, his car did fine. Held up well. And we went on a pretty sketchy road where all the giant pickup trucks had a hard time making all the turns. But Zach's car did great. So I think it's in
rally car, baby. 10 fucking miles of trucks having to pull over to let us by.
Yeah, so that was, what was the road call? Maybe we got to pull out the map, but it's in
Fall River Road.
Yeah, so Fall River Road in Rocky Mountain National Park.
Which is in Mexico for legal purposes.
Yeah, it's in Mexico.
We didn't break any laws on that road.
No, we just made you really fucking nervous.
Yeah. yeah, Zach's car is able to just do the thing really well. It will, even without the rally suspension, it just took those potholes and that road like it was nothing. And all these purpose-built SUVs and fucking giant trucks with fucking off-road tires, and they just couldn't. They couldn't make the turns. They couldn't keep up. They had to let us by. And it's not like Zach was trying to like go crazy. I'm talking too fast, and I've had a couple drinks. It's not like we were trying to go crazy fast. Just moderately quick. Nothing nutty.
I never saw it go over 40.
Yeah.
So that tells you all you need to know about these capable off-road vehicles.
I feel like saying that those vehicles are purpose-built is really misleading when the purpose is, like, getting to your kid's soccer game.
That's the point. Well, yeah. That's the true purpose of those vehicles.
Yeah, like, they struggled up the mountain when we did just fine. So, yeah. Honestly, like, as much as, Connor, I really like your car, and Bryant, yours definitely overperformed based on the way you described it. Kind of feel like Zach's car is the winner for the week.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. It's got an unfair advantage. It's on its home turf. This is Subaru land. If we were on a drift pit, I would be doing boring ass circles and not spinning tires at all. Like, this is where it lives and breathes.
And I don't have my cars here because they live on the side of the road.
as like your car lives and breathes a lot of dust in.
Yeah, that's true.
I will say that the MR2 did well on the twisty canyon roads. Like, that is pretty fun. It, like,
yeah,
you know, the speed limit, which was definitely around 30 to 55 where we were, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It did really well at those kind of speeds in the twisty. And also, I have to say, thanks to Brandon and Connor for helping me put new wheels on my MR2, change the oil, and jack up the Sabre to take pictures of the underside of it for someone that wants to buy it and is scared of rust, which isn't really there. So, also, yeah, I don't know if this, maybe it'll be sold by the time this goes out, but it is for sale. We have some other cars for sale?
Everyone has cars
for sale. Yeah, who has?
We'll worry about it later.
Okay, yeah. Email us, carsandcomrades@gmail.com, to buy our cars.
We're about to turn into Craigslist and Comrades.
Yeah, I've got the parts Subaru for sale. If you need Subaru parts, hit me up before it goes away. I've got a Ranger for sale. It's got a blown transmission. Make me an offer. And if you really want a Shelby Cobra project, we can talk about it. But I need a lot of cash for that one.
S10. We're actually doing it. So this is what we are now.
Yep, this is what we're doing.
Okay,
I'm doing it.
Great. Listen, comrades, I got 95 S10 Blazer. It doesn't run, but I think I'll have it running within a week, and then it just needs a lot of cleanup. And then selling the Camaro. So actually, who knows when this episode will come out, but if you go to Gateway Classic Cars and you, I don't know, piece together everything you've learned about my car, you could probably find it. You know, it is labeled wrong on the website. That's a whole thing. I'll talk about that later, but yeah, the description, not correct. So it is labeled as a Z28. So I'll give you that hint. But if you find a white and orange Z28 in the Chicago showroom, pretty sure that's going to be mine. Unless there's another one there that I didn't see. So you can see my car if you want to buy it. It looks nice in pictures. I'll say that. It looks great in pictures, and you should definitely buy it. That's it.
Yeah, and I'll say my silver Subaru is up for sale on Denver Craigslist, among other places, and 205,000 miles, lots of spare parts, snow tires, and asking $4,500, I would take less for it.
You're not supposed to say that part. It's implied, but you're not supposed to say it.
Hey, if you mention Cars and Comrades, you'll get a discount.
Yeah, I mean, 45 was kind of the discount, but also, yeah, like, just make me an offer. Whatever, we'll figure it out.
Sometimes you just don't want to see it in the parking lot anymore.
That is definitely the case.
I'm sick of going into my fucking side yard seeing that S10.
All right, we're done selling you our shitty cars. Please don't, you know what, please buy them. Yep, if you listen to this, I hope you don't listen to this show. Just buy the cars.
Yeah, they're definitely not shitty. I don't know who thought of saying no. Yeah, that's, they're not. Don't think that even. I guess we can just kind of recap what our vacation's been like. I don't know if people are interested in that. I don't know. What are some of the highlights?
I don't think the listeners are interested, but we sure are. So guess what you're listening to.
I mean, is it worth mentioning that this is literally the first time that most of us have ever met each other? Yeah. Shout out to way back when, if any Street Fight listeners, that's how we all met. We met on the Street Fight call-in show. Bryant called in and was looking for people to start a show with him. And this is all probably 4 years later, and this is the first time we've all had the good fortune of being together, and it's been a fucking blast.
I've had an awesome time, and we saw a moose.
We saw a fucking moose!
And like...
maybe a goddamn marmot.
Yeah, a marmot. Maybe a handful of elk.
More than a handful. We probably saw two dozen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been seeing less than 20.
A couple deer, chipmunks, various other critters that I'm probably forgetting.
Yeah.
We saw a blue jay. Yep.
Yeah. It's been awesome.
So we got to see lots of wildlife. I take it from someone who has been to very few national parks. This is one you should definitely go to. So Rocky Mountain National Park, I have admittedly been there a few times, and I love it every time. It's great. It's fucking cool. The mountains are gorgeous. They literally turn purple in the evening. I mean, you know, that's fucking cool. I love driving on mountain roads. I love everything about mountains because I don't have to live by them, actually. So they're cool to me, but yeah. So we got to see some wildlife. We got to do a lot of driving in the park. We got to do some hiking, which was cool. Yeah, I mean, it was great. I mean, what more could you ask for?
We also got to fuck around in Denver.
We did get to fuck around in Denver for a while and found like a cool bar. We went to Meow Wolf, which is also very cool.
Yeah, shout out to Sputnik.
Yeah, I was going to say, shout out to Sputnik. What a great...
They got vegan options. They got gluten options. They got a killer happy hour. I'm just doing an ad for Sputniks now.
Give it over here. I got to tell you about the fucking happy hour deal. This is what you're listening to this podcast for, I guess. The happy hour deal at a particular bar in Denver. But for real, they were $2 PBRs and $1.50 tacos, and their tacos were fucking good. So for $1.50.
And vegan and gluten-free.
Yeah, so they had all these options, and I had a lot of tacos and a few beers, and I think I paid like $13 or something. It was crazy. Oh, plus we got like appetizers. We had a full-ass fucking meal for happy hour. It was amazing. And then we left spending less than $30.
And Brandon, tell them about that record store, too.
Yo, yeah, we found across the street from Sputnik. I wish I could remember the name because it was a really sick place. But it was a record store / bookstore / coffee stop shop.
Broadway South.
Broadway South in Denver. Wait, that's the name of the...
No, that's just the area.
Yeah. We found a fucking homemade pinball machine. The thing was like hard as shit to play, and it was made out of plywood, and it looked so fucking cool. And I looked it up on some fucking pinball like message board or directory website thing. It's actually listed as being one of a kind homemade. It was an incredibly sick time. And then once I was done playing, I went back across the street to Sputnik and drank more.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Living the fucking life over here. We spent all of Denver in Sputnik.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. We went to the fucking Transportation Museum, dude.
Yeah, we went to the Transportation Museum, which was fucking cool as hell. We saw so many cool old cars. And, yeah, Forney Auto Museum?
Forney Transportation Museum.
Forney Transportation Museum. Definitely worth checking out. I mean, they had all kinds of shit. We saw everything there. They had, like, old, like... very early 1900s cars, but like the entire suspension would be painted and like pinstriped. So there was, they had all kinds of shit. They had Amelia Earhart's car. They had all kinds of shit.
I didn't know this shit.
They had a motorcycle section. They had trains. They had
planes.
They did have planes.
Automobiles.
All kinds of transportation. They had it. It was cool. I thought we were going to run through in about 30 minutes because I looked and I was like, oh, it's not that big. We were there for two or more hours.
Less than three. More than two. Yeah.
So, yeah, we were there for a time. So that was good. We got some coffee at this really cool coffee shop that was super good. I don't know. We just spent our time just kind of fucking around and it was great.
This is slowly turning into an ad for like the Denver tourists agency or whatever they're called.
Okay, come on. Forney Transportation Museum is very much in our wheelhouse.
It very much is, but yeah, I think Cars and Comrades says come to Denver. There's cool shit here, including the Forney Transportation Museum, which you should absolutely check out if you're ever in the area.
Or the Botanical Garden.
Botanical Gardens, too. Check out the Denver Nature and Science Museum. Check out the zoo. Check out Trail Ridge Road, Rocky Mountain National Park. There's cool shit here.
Apparently Colorado is a real place.
It is. Some comedian called it Wakanda for white people. And I don't...
Oh, fuck.
I
not wrong.
Don't necessarily disagree. Some comedian might be right about that.
Might be. No.
I mean, that's accurate. It's great. But, you know, hey, we had fun. We can talk a little bit about our trip up here, too, which was also decent. I mean, Brandon had a much longer day than I did when we came out here. But we did make it in time for Zach's housewarming party, which was actually just very convenient timing. That we didn't plan that, but he was like, yeah, I'm having a housewarming. I'm like, well, if we get there, sure. But it was a long drive. We did it in pretty much one shot with a couple of stops for bathroom and coffee. I drank a lot of coffee, so I had to stop for the bathroom quite a few times. But, you know, we did good. We talked for most of that drive, which from Chicago to Denver, I think it was listed as 14 and a half hours or so. So, you know, Brandon and I talked for probably 10 hours before we got to Denver, and we were not all talked out somehow.
And I will say, I also went to that housewarming party, and Zach and his partner's friends are really cool, I got to say. You got a good taste in friends.
I don't agree. I'm kidding. I do agree.
Yeah, I fucking had to get. I had to leave my house at 3 o'clock in the morning to catch a bus, to catch a flight, to meet up with Connor, to be picked up at the fucking airport, and immediately leave for Denver. We stopped and got coffee and donuts, and then hit the fucking road. good donuts. I don't remember that name of that place, but whatever.
I mean, it was good.
Yeah. Shout out to some random fucking place in Chicago. Who gives a fuck? Chicago still sucks.
It's quirks.
We're going to have a fight about pizza.
No. See, we're not going to have a fight about pizza because we all know that Chicago has better pizza. They're trying to convince me to eat pizza in Denver. Like, I'm not going to do that.
Idaho Springs, Bojo's.
Oh, even better. A place I've never fucking heard of. No, thank you. I eat city pizza. Thank you. There's a Domino's here. I'm sure they have the best pizza in town.
It is mountain pie. It is mountain pie, and you will respect it. It is delicious.
They can't even give it the right fucking name, and you're going to tell me it's better pizza. Mountain pie.
In all fairness, in whatever the fucking city we're in right now, Domino's might actually be the best pizza.
Yeah,
I haven't probably. Even seen another fucking place here.
Well, there's that, like, Fernando's or whatever on the corner, right?
Fernando's, yeah. Fernando's. I'm not trusting it. I don't eat I don't eat pizza outside of Chicago or New York, but New York's okay. We probably just lost a few listeners.
Fuck them.
People don't drive to New York. It's fine. Too much traffic.
Futurama joke.
Futurama joke. Yeah, shamelessly stolen from Futurama.
Well, anyway, it's been a good fucking trip. I don't know if there's... Oh, God. There are a bunch of stories, but I don't know. Those might filter out on other episodes.
Oh, yeah. If you see a black GMC SUV, fucking watch out, man. The one that was going 20 miles an hour?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you know. There was a car going too slow. I'm not going to make a whole story about it, but I was a little aggravated. That's all.
Yeah, it was very annoying.
It was obnoxious because there's fucking pullouts on the road. I don't mind if you're going to go slow because... I get it. It's a sketchy road if you've never done it before, you know, or you want to get pictures.
No, I understand. I would never pull out.
But, you know, some of us have crimes to do, okay?
Yeah.
And, like, we're in a hurry. So, like, fucking get out of the way.
I got to hurry up and get to my moonshine still.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's pullouts there for people to let people pass. They're there for a reason, right? Not everybody wants to go... You know, see how the limit of their fucking tires grip. Not everybody wants to do that. I get it. But I want to do that, so you need to move out of the way. I don't know. Come on.
Yeah, I think I've said this before, but there needs to be free-to-use and robust public transportation that's so good that we can use the streets for street racing.
Yes.
Agreed.
I do not envy whoever has to edit this.
I think that it is possible that we could do a 47 minute and 20 second long episode and then call it.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. We've just passed that time. So
thank you. Thank you for that critique.
Anyway, this is the first Cars and Comrades road trip. We've had a blast. You know, we got to see cool shit, drive everybody's cars. Or maybe in the future, whatever. But, you know, we all had a good time. We got to meet up, hang out, and it turns out we're all fucking cool.
Yeah. You know, go and meet your friends from the internet. What's the worst that could happen? Like, none of us are serial killers as far as I can tell.
So. I let you all know in advance I had a van and you still hung out with me.
Yeah. So with that, make friends with your internet friends and rate our show. Give us 5 stars. Subscribe. Follow our social medias, all that stuff. I don't know.
Ring that bell.
Yeah, whatever.
I think that's a YouTube thing. We don't do that.
We should probably do that at some point.
There was some crazy ass process to start a YouTube channel, and I don't remember what it was, and I haven't fucked with it since.
If you want to hear bonus content and support us, email us, and we might start a Patreon. Probably not, though. But if you really want to give us money, let us know.
If you just want to, like, email us just mail me an envelope full of cash, like, I will, like, set up a P.O. box for that, okay?
Actually, we're always genuinely stoked to hear from our listeners.
Yeah, just fucking email us with any random thought that enters your head. Whatever
it is. That's basically why we have the show.
Yeah.
Before this becomes less coherent, we're going to let you all go. So, thanks for listening. Thanks for following us on social media. And everybody have a great day.
And thanks for Connor for being sober enough to hold the microphone.
Not well. You know what? I don't know what this is going to sound like, so don't credit me with that, actually.
This all might be unusable.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I love
Hell
it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, hell yeah, brother.
Got it.
We gonna make you pay $5 to $5, we make you pay $5 to $5. We gonna fight riches, not riches, but we gonna fight the solidarity. We said we're not gonna fight capitalism with black capitalism, but we going to fight the socialism.
Amazingly, or not so amazingly, Cuba's crime rate is one of the lowest in the entire hemispheres. Oddly enough, it seems that when people have their basic human needs met, they're less likely to commit crimes.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
The free market mythology, it argues that the most ruthless, selfish, opportunistic, greedy, calculating plunderers, applying the most heartless measures in cold-blooded pursuit of corporate interest and wealth accumulation, will produce the best results for all of us. Through something called the invisible hand.
What are you smiling about?
Dude, I almost had you.